Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Today, you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. We have such an important topic for you today. We have Dr. Brant Courtwright on, and we are talking about brain health and neurogenesis. And if you're thinking, I don't know what neurogenesis is, don't worry, you will shortly. Next week, it's actually a fantastic follow-up to this conversation. We are talking about the power of meditation with William T. Hathaway, and he's going to be sharing his personal story of how meditation changed his life and, in fact, changed his brain. Today we're going to talk a lot about the science, and next week we'll talk about the story, which is just important to the to humans as the science, I think. So I just want to always mention that I do run that contest, hashtag Entanglement Radio, if you are out there and you are listening and you would like to win a free intuitive reading with me. I give one away free every month to a lucky listener. So if you are out there and you have a Twitter account, you can hashtag Entanglement Radio. And if you're not on Twitter, you can always go and find me on Facebook at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. And you can just say, hey, I'm a listener. I loved your show. Or talk about this or whatever. I just want interaction, because as we'll learn today, it's good for the brain being social and connected and feeling like you're part of a relationship. Yes, and also I am still continuing my project Fertile Light, where I just want to share people's creativity and art and all that wonderful stuff. And I've had some really great submissions as well, great submissions for my listeners. So if you are out there, you can find out more about that on my website at Hestia Health. And there's a link to Fertile Light actually right on the homepage. So as I mentioned today, we are talking about neurogenesis with Dr. Brant Courtwright. And I love this topic, because I hear so often, especially now, you know, my parents are in their 60s and all my friends' parents are aging. And I hear so often, oh, it's just part of getting old. Oh, just wait until you get old and you experience all this. And, you know, my background in exercise physiology, I'll hear people say they haven't skied for 5 years, and then they'll go ski for 8 hours a day, and they'll say, oh, I just hate getting old. You're not old, you're out of shape. So just as we can train our bodies, we can also help to train our mind and make them more healthy and vibrant. And so we are really talking about the brain's potential today. So with that, let me introduce my guest. Brant Courtwright, PhD, is a clinical psychologist and professor of psychology at California Institute of Integral Studies. His consulting practice specializes in cutting-edge brain health and neuroscience-informed depth therapy. He is the author of 2 other books, Psychotherapy in Spirit, as well as Integral Psychology. He currently lives north of San Francisco in Marin County. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Dr. Brant Courtwright to the program. Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well today. Thank you for having me.
So did you like what I said about people who go skiing and they haven't skied for 5 years, and then they ski for 8 hours, and then they blame it on being old when they're in pain and their muscles hurt? And I think it's a similar thing to our conversation that we're going to have today, is that people, whether they finish school or they retire, they stop using their brains in ways that they and challenging their brains in ways that they had challenged before. And then they attribute it to just part of getting older. So
that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. We live in such a neurotoxic world that just about everybody's brain is operating at well below capacity. And we haven't known this until just a few years ago. So just about everybody's brain, and therefore the way you live your life, could be happening at a much higher level than it is now.
I love that. So let's start, because I said, you know, if we have listeners and they hear the term neurogenesis and they're like, what does that mean? Let's start there. What does it mean?
Good. So neurogenesis is the brain making new brain cells. It generates new brain cells. And they used to think, I mean, this was gospel in neuroscience up until the late 1990s, just 16, 17, 18 years ago. It used to be believed that the brain stopped growing new brain cells once we reached our early 20s. And then it was just a slow, gradual decline after that. And then they discovered that, no, actually we produce new brain cells throughout our entire life. Now, it turns out there's a slowdown in middle age, and there's another slowdown in old age. However, they at first didn't realize what the significance of this was. So the fact that we make new brain cells through our lives, they thought, okay, well, so we do. Great. Well, just the last few years, they've realized that the rate of neurogenesis, that is, the rate at which your brain makes new brain cells, has a big impact on the quality of your life and the quality of your brain. So low rates of neurogenesis are associated with cognitive decline, with memory problems, with anxiety and stress, and with depression, as well as lowered immunity. And it turns out that high rates of neurogenesis are associated with just the opposite, with cognitive enhancement, with rapid learning, with robust emotional resilience and protection from anxiety, stress, and depression, and heightened immunity. So this is big, big news. Almost nobody knows about it. And it turns out that we can increase the rate of neurogenesis by about 5 times, and probably even more than that, because some of the science is lagging behind in this. But we can do a lot to increase our rate of neurogenesis and upgrade every level of our life, body, heart, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm. So just because I really want to hit this point home, that even people who are listening to this who are perhaps maybe in their 50s or in their early 60s, you're still saying that there is potential and there is things that they can do to increase their neurogenesis.
That's right. That some of the decline they may be experiencing is an artifact of their lifestyle. And that when they change their lifestyle, they change their brain and change the quality of their life. That's absolutely right. Now, it seems like people who are young in their 20s and 30s can increase their rate of neurogenesis by 5 times, probably more, but at least 5 times. Same with people in middle age. And people in old age, we're talking late 60s, 70s, 80s, can increase their rate of neurogenesis 3 to 5 times. That's still a huge increase.
That is. And one thing that you say in the book is that so the rate of neurogenesis is great, but then also their survival of those new neurons is also an important factor.
That's right. That's why this is a holistic approach to brain health, because everything works together, body, heart, mind, spirit. So some things we do increase the production of new brain cells, and other things we do increases the survival rate of those new brain cells. So we need to do the whole thing. So this is, again, a holistic approach. And, you know, much of neuroscience has this very materialistic bias. It only believes in the physical. And so there's an increasing number of neuroscientists who don't buy into that just purely physicalist, materialist paradigm and say, well, we've also got to explain consciousness with neuroscience, and we have to explain spiritual states. And so there's an increasing literature now that's looking at the whole spectrum of consciousness, body, heart, mind, spirit, because everything we experience through the brain. So if no matter if it's something physical, if it's something emotional, our desires, our loves, something mental, as well as spiritual states, it all comes to us through the brain. And so the higher the quality of our brain, the higher the quality of our life and consciousness.
Well, let's talk about consciousness before we go to the break. Because depending, you know, I've looked at consciousness from a neuroscience perspective, which you said is shifting, from a psychological perspective, from a mystical perspective. And to me, it's definitely more than just awareness of self, just being self-aware. So from your perspective, how would you define consciousness?
I think of it as awareness on many different levels, so that there are different gradations of consciousness or different vibrations or frequencies of consciousness. So at the lowest, densest level of vibration, we get physical awareness of the body, of sensations. At a little higher level, we get an emotional dimension of consciousness that ties us into what all mammalian brains have, this limbic system, where we're aware of different feelings that connect us to people and to other beings. At a little higher level, a little higher frequency of consciousness, we get the mind, this cognitive dimension, where we can think about things and have language and abstract thought. And at the highest level, as well as all of these other levels at their fundamental base, we have spirit, a spiritual dimension. And this goes into our deepest identity, soul or spirit. There's a kind of spiritual individuality, and there's a universal dimension as well. And that this is, in the non-dual traditions, one with the divine, that there is really only the divine, and we are that in our deepest center. So I think of consciousness as being all of that. It's not just the mental ranges of consciousness. It's this body, heart, mind, spirit, this whole continuum of consciousness.
I like it. You're speaking my language. But when we get back, because we are up on a break here pretty quick, I want to talk about, you talk about being neurohealthy and neurotoxic. So I want to start when we get back with aspects of an enriched environment and talk a little bit about how we learned about neurogenesis through animal studies and whether the good points and maybe some of the drawbacks of looking at studies with rats and those sorts of things. But if you are listening and you're interested already in my guest, Dr. Brad Courtwright, you can find out more at neurogenesisdiet.com. So we will continue our conversation here on neurogenesis and the brain's potential when we return here on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. My guest again today is Dr. Brent Courtwright, and we are talking about brain health and neurogenesis. And before the break, I was asking you to explain your view of consciousness. And you kind of, it was wonderful. And you spoke about the physical, mental, emotional. And I imagine that a lot of science and research that we have around neurogenesis is in animal studies, primates and mice. And of course, their brains, while there are many similarities, there are also very different. And I can imagine it would be easy to look at some of these studies and study the physical aspects of consciousness and probably some of the inferred mental aspects of consciousness. But as you go higher up the chain, and looking at, you know, spiritual and energetic and unity and oneness and all of those things, that that would be very difficult to infer from a study, say, with rats. So how far has this research gone, and what are some of the limitations that we run up against?
Yeah, you raise a really good point here, that most of what we know about the brain, we know from animal studies, because you can do an experiment, and then the experimenter can then kill the animal, the mouse or the monkey or whatever it is, and look at their brain and see the changes that have happened. And obviously we can't do that with human beings. So we need to rely on other kinds of neuroimaging studies that don't involve dissection or looking at the brain under a microscope after autopsy with human beings. So when we get to the spiritual level, that's where we really can't rely hardly any on animal studies. So in looking at, it's like what the book is about is really looking at physical ways in which we can increase our rate of neurogenesis, things like diet and exercise. And diet's a big piece of it. We're looking at emotional dimensions to increasing our rate of neurogenesis and things that get in the way with it of that. Emotionally, mental things that both get in the way as well as increase our rate of neurogenesis. And spiritually, we have to rely on brain imaging studies that look at things like blood flow in the brain, the rate at which there's a cortical thickening, at which there is more blood flow to certain parts of the brain. So we can infer that. Like meditation, for example, it turns out that there are two kinds of meditation that look as if they increase the rate of neurogenesis quite significantly. And these two types of spiritual practice, again, we don't know definitively because we haven't been able to look at people's brains that carefully on autopsy. But it looks as if there are two kinds of spiritual practice that seem to increase the rate of neurogenesis along the entire length of the hippocampus. So these two types of meditation or these two types of spiritual practice are, first of all, mindfulness practices. So there's, as you know, there's a wide variety of mindfulness meditation practices, beginning with paying attention to the breath, and the sensations of breathing in the body, to looking at whatever arises in consciousness at this present moment, coming into the now, seeing whatever arises and watching it pass away. There's many different kinds of mindfulness practice, and these seem to increase neurogenesis. And the other sort of practice are devotion practices or compassion practices, things like emotional prayer, bhakti practices, love, devotion, surrender practices. These also seem to have quite a profound effect on the brain. You know, when they first started doing research, neuroscience research on the brain, they were surprised to find anything because it looks like nothing's happening. The person's just sitting there, right? If you're a meditator, this is not a surprise at all. You know that a lot's happening. And it turns out when people are meditating, it's a very dynamic process in the brain. There's a lot that's happening.
Well, I want to ask you, because I work a lot teaching mind, body, and mindfulness practices with people living with cancer. And we often talk about mindfulness meditation, and they've done a lot of studies where they've looked at brain imaging of monks. So people who have spent thousands upon thousands of hours in meditation, and they've been able to see an abundance of gamma rays. Has anyone ever done the research where they look at, you know, the brainwave states and neurogenesis?
I'm not aware of, you know, the research is so new here. There's still so much that has to be done. I'm not aware of anything on that particular angle.
I'd be interested because gamma waves are fascinating to me. Anyway, that's a topic for another time. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about these aspects of enriched environment. And let's talk first, where did you get this idea of what an enriched environment looks like?
So they did an experiment with, you know, let me just say one other thing about how important animal studies are, which is that mammals all have the same brain architecture, right? We all have these three brains, whether it's a mouse or whether it's a horse or whether it's an elephant or whether it's a monkey. We all have these three brain structures. There's this lower reptilian brain stem that runs the body. There's this limbic system or emotional brain that allows emotions to occur. And then there's this neocortex, which in human beings is larger, but which other mammals also have. So all mammals share the same basic architecture. They share the same neurotransmitters, the same neuromodulators, neuropeptides, same hormones. So there's a lot that we can learn and have learned about the human brain from animal brains. So they did this one experiment where they wanted to see, was it possible to increase the rate of neurogenesis? Was it possible to jumpstart the rate of neurogenesis? And so they gave mice, and they later done this with monkeys and other animals, what they called an enriched environment. And I think of this enriched environment as really a kind of holistic treatment, is what it is. So an enriched environment consists of things like running wheels to exercise on, a very good diet, a lot of interesting places to explore, a new ever-changing environment, a lot of nesting materials, other friendly mice to mate with and play with. And they found that they increased their rate of neurogenesis by 5 times, and that these mice had big cognitive advantages over their normal neurogenesis rate peers. They also had big emotional advantages. They were protected from stress and depression. It wasn't an absolute protection, but they were close to super mice. They were functioning at a much higher level. So it's this enriched environment or this holistic treatment that provided this fivefold increase in neurogenesis. Because certain things, like exercise on a running wheel, for example, when you do aerobic exercise is one of the best things you can do for your brain. Aerobic exercise means anything that gets you breathing hard, breathing fast. Aerobic means living on air. So running, walking quickly, biking, swimming, fast dancing, hiking up a mountain, Stairmaster, anything that gets you breathing hard will have an effect on the brain, produce new brain chemicals like BDNF, that your brain just explodes with new neurons. However, about half of them die off pretty quickly. They're pruned by the brain. But if you do other things, such as you stimulate it with a novel, ever-changing environment. You give it a lot of new things to look at and to explore. Or you give it, for example, hesperidin, which is a bioflavonoid in citrus fruits. What these things do is they keep the new brain cells alive. So, again, this research is so new. They only know a little bit of what is the effect of a particular nutrient or a particular activity on neurogenesis. They're just now beginning to sort of parse this and see well, these things create new brain cells at a higher rate, but these other things over here, they keep the new brain cells alive. And we need all of that working together.
Well, one thing I noticed, we're up on a break in a couple of minutes. When we get back, I want to talk about diet. But one of the things I noticed as I'm reading this is, okay, so exercise, touch, positive relationships, getting the right amount of sleep. Those things just aren't good for your brain. They're good for just overall health. Those have been well studied in other fields, in, you know, exercise science, in psychology. So it seems like, you know, we're all working towards the same thing, which is just creating a healthier body, mind, heart, spirit, just in general. It seems like a lot of these things are common sense.
And that's absolutely right. Some of these are common sense. And some of them, when we don't get them, have a much bigger effect on our brain than they ever knew before. Like sleep, for example. Not getting enough sleep has a terrible effect on your brain. And on many different levels, one of which is it slows down your rate of neurogenesis hugely. Another is it lowers your the rate at which your brain makes melatonin, and melatonin stimulates neurogenesis. And it also prevents your brain from cleaning itself, from cleansing itself. And so you get a buildup of brain toxins like amyloid beta, which is involved in Alzheimer's. And so just about everybody needs 7 or 8 hours sleep. Almost nobody can get by on less than 6. I mean, you can get by, but your brain really suffers. So you're right. Some of this is common sense, but it's also really looking at this has a big effect on, yes, many of these other health systems, but also on the brain and neurogenesis.
When we get back from the break, I want to spend some time talking about diet, because obviously that is a very, probably the most important factor. And then also talk about, there's a lot of shows that you see on TV, the brain game shows, and see if there's really some validity to what they're saying. And if you can just, you know, do the Sudokus or the crossword puzzles, if that's going to make a difference. So when we get back, we're talking about diet as well as see if brain games can really help us. We'll be right back after this break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting to your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and help you realize the innate potential you have to heal every aspect of your life. So come heal yourself every Tuesday 11 a.m. Eastern with your host, Monica Goyal. Namaste.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. If you're just joining us today, we have Dr. Brant Courtright on, and he's the author of The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, Upgrade Your Brain, Upgrade Your Life. So let's talk about diet. This morning, I am actually the queen of the high-fat smoothie. I really, although you say you should chew your food, but my smoothies have chia seeds and nuts and avocados and blueberry, blackberry mix, and then some power greens and maybe half a banana. So is that pretty good for a brain-fueled smoothie?
That is really good with a couple of exceptions.
In that. All right.
So diet, you're right. Diet is
– oh, you know what? It looks like I have lost the – oh, you're back. We lost you there for a
Hello.
Second. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. We missed everything you just said, so we start again.
Okay. You're right. Diet is hugely important in neurogenesis and in brain health. And just about everybody is eating things that are making their brains work at a much lower rate than they could be. So there are certain things it would be good to be adding to our diet. And the book has about, I don't know, 30 or 40 nutrients that have been shown to increase our rate of neurogenesis. But let me just start with kind of an overview of diet.
Okay.
It turns out that a high sugar, high carbohydrate diet will lower your rate of neurogenesis by 50%. That's astonishing when you think about it. I mean, when you think about the average young American child who starts off their days with, I don't know what, sugar frosted flakes and a glass of orange juice. It's just high sugar and unhealthy fats. And that's the exact opposite of what the brain needs. The brain needs lots of good, healthy fats. And, you know, the brain is made up of about 2/3 fat. And so we need good, healthy fats to keep building a brain. If you want to build a good high-end house, you use good high-end material. You don't use rotting wood or decaying wood. You use good material. And it's the same with the brain. We need lots of good, healthy fats. And we need to stay away from unhealthy fats. So healthy fats are non-oxidized fats, and unhealthy fats are oxidized fats. Oxidized means they go rancid through heat or through exposure to light and oxygen. So, for example, cooking with vegetable oil, terrible idea. It produces lots of oxidized fats. And when those oxidized fats get into your bloodstream, they oxidize the cholesterol in your bloodstream. So that's what produces heart disease. And it also produces inflammation. And inflammation chews up the inside of your blood vessels. And so it wreaks havoc on your brain. It's neurotoxic, as well as it's terrible for your cardiovascular system, for your blood vessels as well. So another type of oxidized fat is fried food. When we eat fried food, this is terrible. What we want are non-oxidized fats. So things like, and healthy fats. So things like avocado, nuts, grass-fed beef, pastured eggs, pastured dairy, wild-caught fish. One of the very best things we can do is omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil. You know, of the 2/3 of your brain that is fat, 1/3 of that is DHA. And DHA is one of the 3 omega-3 fatty acids, and it's the most important for the brain. They did this one experiment where they fed monkeys a low omega-3 diet, and they fed another group of monkeys a high omega-3 diet. When they looked at their brains, they found that the low omega-3 diet monkeys had very simple, undifferentiated brains. And the high omega-3 diet monkeys had very complex, highly differentiated brains, almost like human beings. That omega-3 fatty acids, and particularly DHA, helps build complexity in the brain. And complexity is good when it comes to the brain. We want complexity. So,
I want to stop you there for 1 second. So, first of all, if people are listening and they're like, okay, so don't fry vegetable oils. What if they wanted to make a stir fry? What type of oil would you suggest then that they use in replacement for that?
Good question. What we want are saturated fats to cook with, because those don't oxidize. So coconut oil is great. Ghee is great. Ghee or butter is great. Ghee is even better than butter, but they're both really good. Also things like even lard or tallow. We don't want to use olive oil. It's probably okay if you're cooking at a very low temperature, but that also oxidizes. So we don't want to cook with any vegetable oil. And that's what's been sold to us for decades now, that we should be only using vegetable oils. It turns out that has a disastrous effect on our brains, on our cardiovascular system. It turns out that dietary cholesterol is not a problem. Hmm. What's a problem is oxidized cholesterol. That's what causes heart disease. And the failure to differentiate those two has been the cause of a lot of needless grief. You know, America has been sold, and the Western world has been sold on this low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet. And it turns out the brain needs exactly the opposite. It needs high, good fat. Certainly we need low, bad fat, that's for sure. But we don't need low, good fat. We need high, good fat. And generally, you know, low in carbohydrate as well. Although it depends on the person. Everybody's unique here. But given the high carbohydrate diet of most Americans, it's estimated that between 50 and 80% of the population has some degree of insulin resistance. So that means that there is higher than optimal blood sugar levels in our system and higher than optimal levels of insulin. And what this does is it slows down the rate of neurogenesis, and it also causes cognitive decline very rapidly. So you can chart insulin resistance, what the person's level of blood sugar is, and cognitive decline just about perfectly on a chart. So if you have any kind of insulin resistance, most people do, it would behoove you to get it down as soon as possible, because your mind is going to be going with that. You don't want that. And so a good blood test when you get your annual physical for people to get is called a hemoglobin A1C. And that measures your blood sugar over the past 3 months. And if it's elevated, it's good to work to get it down by reducing your carbohydrates, by eliminating sugar as much as possible and moving to things like stevia, and getting more and more good, healthy fats into your diet. So your smoothie is great with everything in it, except I would worry a little bit about the banana. And the blueberries are great. You know, blueberries are one of the top neurogenesis foods to eat. The brain, they're almost like Miracle-Gro for the brain. They're great. But you can do them in one of two ways. One is straight blueberries or frozen blueberries in a smoothie. The other way to do them is you can do them as an extract in capsules. And it turns out that if insulin resistance and your blood sugar level is an issue, it's better to do them as an extract in a capsule, because then you don't get all the sugar that's with the blueberries. Whereas if you eat the blueberries straight or frozen, then you also do get some sugar. And again, not a lot. In terms of fruit, that's a low-sugar fruit and a good kind to eat. But if you are looking to increase your insulin sensitivity, it's been shown that people who eat blueberries versus those who eat extracts don't get the insulin sensitivity boost that they do if they just eat the extracts.
Well, I want to ask you about, because you can find plant sources of omega-3 fatty acids like my chia seeds or flax seeds, and then you've talked about fish oils. Are having omega-3s from both sources important, or should you just skip the chia and go straight to the fish oil?
Yeah, that you're asking a really important question here too. And I'm speaking as somebody who was vegetarian for many years. I no longer am, but I used to do flax oil as a way to increase my omega-3s. It turns out that doesn't increase your DHA levels, and that's what you want to increase. So, as I said, there's three different fatty acids in omega-3s. There's ALA, there's EPA, and there's DHA. So when you do something like flax oil, that is a lot of ALA, which your body can convert to DHA, but it does so at an extremely inefficient rate. Something like 5% of it in healthy 18-year-olds is converted. And when they've tried to see, can you actually increase the brain and the bloodstream's DHA levels through flax oil, through taking ALA, they found that no, it doesn't happen.
Well, I want to give you an opportunity to pick this up when we return, because I think it's a really important point. So we'll continue our conversation about neurogenesis here with Dr. Brant Courtwright when we return. And I also want to talk about brain games too when we return here on Entangment Radio with Angela Levesque. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business. And share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
We are back here on Integument Radio with Angela Levesque, and this segment is brought to you by Hestia Health. This is where we bring it on home and give you practical tools and tips to take what we've talked about so far today and bring them into our daily life today. So you can find out more about Hestia Health by going to hestiahealth.com, creating calm minds, open hearts, and inspired lives. So before the break, we were talking about the difference between ALA, which is found in plant sources like flaxseed and chia seeds, and what you would find in fish oil. So I want to let you finish that thought.
Yes. So it turns out there is actually a source, a plant source, a way to increase DHA levels, and that is through algae. And this is a pretty recent technology. So there are certain kinds of sea algae that have been extracted. And when you take these, you get a big dose of EPA, which is the second form of omega-3 fatty acid. And EPA does convert to DHA at a fairly good level. So they've done studies to show that people who just do EPA are able to raise their DHA levels. So if you are a vegetarian and do not want to do fish oil, then the best way to do that, to increase your DHA levels, would be to do a supplement that is derived from algae. And that way you can increase your DHA levels. The very best way and most efficient way is to do fish oil. And if you do a fish oil capsule, what you want is a fish oil capsule that has a high DHA level and one that is molecularly distilled, because you don't want any mercury in it. Mercury is one of the most potent neurotoxins known, and it tends to concentrate in fish higher and higher up the food chain. So that's why when you eat fish, you want to eat wild-caught, things like wild-caught salmon or cod or sardines. And you want fish oil that is molecularly distilled and with a high DHA content. And you, most people could use 2 to 4 to 5 grams a day of it. And I think you will begin to notice changes in your memory, in your emotional resilience, and in your all-around life. I think this is a hugely important thing to do, to increase our DHA levels. One last thing. They did one study looking at people who ate fish 1 to 3 times a week, and they found out that they had 16% more gray matter in the part of the brain involved in higher process, cognitive processing, unless the person ate fried fish. Uh-huh. If it was fried fish, there was no difference between them and normals. So eating good wild-caught fish and eating omega-3 fatty acids is one of the most important things we can do for our brain.
Well, I know we had, I started my husband on fish oil, and after about a month, he goes, "I think I feel smarter." Mm-hmm. Is that possible? He goes, "I don't know if smarter is the word, but I feel I have more clarity and I'm able to just figure things out a little bit better." And I was like, "Well, there you go." So,
yes, that's absolutely right. In fact, you know, the whole way that neurogenesis, the significance of it, was discovered is they realized that antidepressants work not by increasing the serotonin levels in the brain, as they had thought, but by actually stimulating neurogenesis. And that takes about 3 or 4 weeks to happen. When neurogenesis is stimulated, it takes 3 or 4 weeks for new brain cells to come online in the brain. And that's when, it's like antidepressants, they take 3 or 4 weeks to work, and nobody understood why, because they increase your rate of serotonin immediately. Like within hours, you have a much higher rate of serotonin in your brain. But there's no change in mood for 3 or 4 weeks. And when they finally discovered that what was actually working with antidepressants was that they increased the rate of neurogenesis, not increased serotonin levels, they looked at other ways of increasing the rate of neurogenesis, and it turns out omega-3 fatty acids also increase your rate of neurogenesis, but without any of the side effects that come from antidepressants. And so there are some studies to show that doing fish oil is a more effective antidepressant than antidepressants. Hmm. I mean, antidepressants work with less than 50% of the population. They've got a lot of side effects, including loss of libido, loss of sex drive, which is depressing in itself. And they also seem to decrease the number of serotonin receptors in the brain by up to 50%. So people get more and more dependent on them. And it turns out this whole serotonin deficiency theory is untrue. And the pharmaceutical companies now know that. But they've got a $15 billion a year gig mm-hmm. going here. And so although they're looking for other drugs to increase neurogenesis, they want to keep selling antidepressants and Prozac and everything else until that comes on market. And when it does, you'll hear nonstop ads for that rather than currently for antidepressants.
Well, so we only have a few minutes left, and this is, like I said, I like to leave my listeners with just a couple of things that they can do today. So I think we talked about fish oil. So if you were to leave them with another one or two things that, you know, they should start putting in their lives today to help with neurogenesis, what would they be?
well, blueberries is good. Green tea is good. We want like 10 to 15 cups of green tea, but we don't want that much caffeine. So you can actually get green tea extracts that have the caffeine removed. I'd also suggest just lifelong learning, right? It's like our brain wants to be used. It wants to be engaged with our environment. So learning new things. And learning lots of new things. It turns out that these brain games you were talking about, like crossword puzzles and things that are advertised on the radio, it turns out those don't actually work very well. If you do crossword puzzles, it works well for about 50 crossword puzzles at getting you to do crossword puzzles, but it doesn't seem to generalize. And it's the same with these brain games and computer games. The research is coming in pretty clearly that these things don't generalize. So they're good at that, getting you to do that particular video game better, but not much else. So we need to stimulate the brain in a variety of ways. So reading, writing, music, learning new things. It doesn't have to be a class, although classes are wonderful too, but it can be something, learning something online or a webinar or going to cooking school or learning something new. Music is good also because it stimulates, you know, the right brain. We want the right and left brain stimulation. We want to, you know, travel to new places. You're stimulating the brain sensorily and cognitively as well. The brain wants to be engaged. And if we just do the same thing over and over again, it stops being engaged. In fact, not stimulating the brain slows neurogenesis way, way down. Deprivation is one of the worst things for the brain. So we want to stimulate the brain optimally with things that give us pleasure, that we want to learn about. And that makes us feel better in the process. When our rate of neurogenesis is high, we feel really good.
Well, just really quickly, one thing that I used to do, and I, maybe there's no, is a brain game. I would try and think of all 50 states from memory and then write them with my non-dominant hand. Is there?
Yeah. Using the brain in new ways. That stimulates it. Yes. In a variety of new ways. That's good.
Well, we only have a few minutes left here, so I want to give you plenty of opportunity to share with my listeners where they can find your book. And I want to say, like, I probably had 25 more questions I would have – usually I only get through 8 or 9, but there's just so much information in this book. And if you know anyone or just yourself, it's not too late to start learning and challenging your brain and growing it. So I just want to say there's so much more to this book that we didn't get to today. So what would you like to leave with my listeners, websites, all the social media stuff? Just I want to give you the opportunity to do that now.
Okay, well, thank you. So my website is brantcourtright.com, BrantCourtright.com. The book's available through Amazon, on Kindle, available. You can order through any bookstore as well. And let me just say that there's new evidence out to show that it looks like a holistic approach to brain health may be the only thing that can prevent and maybe even reverse the cognitive decline associated with Alzheimer's. Right now, there's nothing. There's no drug. There's no treatment that can alter the course of the disease, that can slow it down, that can prevent it. But there's recent research coming out of the Buck Institute in California and a new Finnish study that looking at this holistic approach, this body, heart, mind, spirit approach to stimulating the brain that's outlined in the book. It turns out this is the one approach that there's actual research evidence to show that Alzheimer's can be, and the memory loss associated with Alzheimer's may be reversed. The people in this one study had to drop out, had to stop working because of memory problems. They were able to, as their memory came back online, go back into their jobs for the 2 years that the study followed them. So a holistic approach to brain health looks like now is the only approach that actually works.
Well, you can hear the music here, so I just want to say thank you so much for being on the program. Coming up next week, it's a great follow-up. We're going to be talking about the power of meditation with William T. Hathaway and how he'll share his personal story of how meditation changed his life and his brain. And again, hashtag Integument Radio. If you want to join us, you just do that on Twitter or find me on Facebook at Integument Radio and Hestia Health. And always think about sending in your submissions for Fertile Light. You can find out more on my radio on my website at hestiahealth.com. Coming up next is Equilibrium FM with Claire Johnson. Johnston, this is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I will see you next week.